Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in the show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Burchie. Hope's here.
Hello.
And we're doing a live show. You know the drill. We have a chat room. We're taking questions from the chat. We do a few Twitter questions. You know, that's how we do it here on the live show. Joined us once again, it's Brady Hartle. Brady, thanks
Yay.
For coming on the show.
Hello, how are we doing? How's everybody doing?
You must be excited because I pronounced your last name right.
I am extremely excited. Third time's the charm.
Highlight of your day.
This one guy I know said my name properly. So awesome.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So, you know, we usually do these things live with the chat room, and we'll get to that in a second. And we also got some questions from Twitter. But, Brady, it's been a little while since we've had you on the show. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm just busy with stuff. I don't know if people remember, but I work on Skullgirls, and we're trying to finish the PS4/Vita version, so it's just been late nights of me working on, like, art or UI or whatever is needed to get it done, and we're in, like, the final push stage, I guess, if that's, you know, crunch.
Right.
So I've just been, like, night and day that, plus whatever I'm doing on the side and my day job. So it's just been, like, night and day that.
Yeah, it feels like you've been in crunch on Skullgirls for, like, a decade.
Yes, I mean, luckily, I can't say, like, when, but the date's coming soon, and it's, like, it has to be done very, very soon, so it's going to be a very huge relief for me, and then I'm going to try and take, like, days off for it, so I'm very happy that's coming soon.
Cool. Sounds good. Have you been watching anything?
Have I been watching anything? Really old stuff. Stuff that's not the Castle of Cagliostro, thank God.
Yeah, you're done with that. That's on shelves now. People are getting it. Rave reviews so far.
Yeah, the review's been really good. It's not on shelves, it's the pre-orders. If you pre-ordered it from the Discotheque site, you can get it. But it's not at, like, Right Stuff or anything yet. That's, like, the 26th of June or something crazy like that. Don't, like, quote me on the exact date, but it's, like, June something.
Right.
But, yeah, I've been watching old stuff. I revisited, like, a lot of the stuff is stuff I'm working on. Like, I revisited Vamp Energy Bloodlust, which I forgot, like, how, like, really, like, how great the animation in that is. Just how they don't put that much money in, like, anime movies anymore.
Yeah, it's very lush. Although that movie, that's an early digital movie, right? Like,
it's kind of, like, both, I think. Like, I think it's technically cells, but all composited on the computer, and then they output that somehow to film. So, I don't know. It's a really weird combination of all of it.
Some process that they don't use at all anymore, I'm sure.
No, and I was talking a little bit to Justin. I'm like, how do you think this was put together? And I don't think even he had, like, a 100% of idea. He gave me kind of, like, what he thought the Cliff's Notes of it was. So,
right.
Yeah. But and that was neat to revisit that just because I forgot just how, like, lush it was. Magic Knight Ray Earth, which is going to be a sort of a process of figuring that out.
Yeah, you posted a hilarious screenshot the other day of just how wonky that show can look, like, shot to shot.
It's, from looking at it, it's very obvious that it wasn't really meant to be in HD. And all the close-ups are really nice, you know, for the most part. But, like, when things get further away from you, they get very, like, weird looking. I was stepping through that because I was just looking over the materials and I was like, wow. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a show, like, look like that in the opening of the show before.
Right.
But, yeah.
It was, yeah, I mean, like, that show has sort of kind of legendarily janky animation. Like, The second season is much worse than the first one, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not like it ever had a reputation for having, like, gorgeous animation, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. I think people like that show for different reasons, really.
Yeah.
It's not like it looks horrible or anything. I'm really looking forward to working on it. But, like, yeah, like, anything that's far away just gets very, very weird looking. But I'm still excited because I really like that show. And then otherwise, it's been, like, Street Fighter 2, the movie, which has been a process of figuring out all the different cuts of the movie that exist and then tracking down all the audio for that. Like, there's at least three cuts and maybe a fourth cut, and I've found three of them. And they all have different amounts of dialogue and F-bombs and all that. And, you know, I mean, I'm working on it because I'm a fan of that from just back when I was a teenager. But yeah. Obviously also, like, every release of that movie has been, I don't want to say flawed, but, like it's just people want that movie with Japanese and English, and so you can switch it and not have to, like, flip your disc or have to watch different cuts or whatever. So it's been figuring out, like, okay, this one has all the F-bombs. This one doesn't have all the F-bombs. This one's the PG-13 one. Now how do I make this all fit onto the uncut video? And so that's sort of been a process, and I've managed to figure it out for, like, two of the three of them, and so it's looking good that all the cuts that people want on that, well, at least for the audio portion, will be on there. So that's, I'm pretty happy about that.
I'm looking forward to that one just because it has been, I mean, I'm not sure, I don't remember probably 95% of that movie. I saw it once in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, it felt ubiquitous for a long time, I think because it was just on every video store shelf, but it hasn't been in print for, like, a long time, right?
Yeah, the last time it was in print was 2009 or 10 or something like that. Part of the game for this is, like, a game or, like when you're trying to figure out, like just figuring out these movies, I try and order every single version of the movie I can, you know, track down, so long as it's not, like, super expensive.
Right.
And then I go through it and see, like, what's on this. Okay, so this has the ones with the F-bombs. This has this, and this. So, and the only reason I do that is so, like, I know what exists so I can actually try and request it through the licensor. And then it's trying to figure out, well, this is the person who licensed this here, so they probably have the material, so I'll go to them. And just trying to figure all that out is just a pain in the butt. And, yeah, that is, like, 2010, I think, is the last time it was out, maybe even earlier than that, was the manga one that the flipper, which is... One side is the UK edit, which has the boobies in it, and then the other side is the Japanese one, which also has the boobies, but is less uncut than the American one. It is really weird what they did this movie. They cut out, like luckily also they cut out about 5 minutes of stuff, but it's all stuff like Ryu walks to the top of the screen for 5 minutes, like, or 2 minutes or something weird like that.
Yeah.
So all the edits I've had to do have been, like, I have to fill in, like, 2 minutes of silence with music.
That sounds like quite a trial. Somebody in our chat room here has commented that it could be worse. You could be working on Street Fighter 2V, but I'm pretty sure you are, aren't you?
No, that's not that I know of. As far as I know, that's not been relicensed or anything.
Oh, okay. I thought it had been. I thought somewhere in that milieu of, like, just crazy relicenses that Discotech was doing, Street Fighter 2V was mentioned at some point.
No, the one that I think they're thinking of is the Street Fighter 2, the animated series, which was on USA Cartoon Network.
Oh, or man.
USA Cartoon Express, that. Which is an interesting challenge because there's no art for that at all whatsoever. And it has legendarily bad animation.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, no, I'm aware. It's up there with the Darkstalkers cartoon.
Yeah, so I've I did with Mega Man. If you remember that, like, we did a whole new piece of art for that. We're sort of doing the same thing with Street Fighter, and the plan is to do it as, like, a Super Nintendo box, hopefully, as long as it gets approved. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a Super Nintendo, like, design. like sideways, but then you'll be able to flip, like we're drawing the cover so you can flip the cover over and it'll be like a Super Famicom box kind of. So it'll hopefully be neat so long as I make it look good and Capcom says yes once I design it.
See, here's what I think you should do. You should make the cover look like a beat up Blockbuster videotape. with the title in that Blockbuster video like typewriter font along the side. Perfect. It's got a couple of, you know, Be Kind Rewind stickers on it. That's how you do it. Take it from me. That's the way to sell that.
With Blockbuster video.
Because, I mean, that was ubiquitous. That was in every Blockbuster video for, like, 20 years.
Blockbuster video.
Yeah, that's wow, how most people... I would like to think that's how most people discovered that movie.
You mean the Shiver 2 movie.
Yeah, that
definitely, yeah, they found a Blockbuster next to Macross Clash of the Bionoids and some random Rama 1/2 tapes.
Ninja Scroll and Akira, yeah.
Ninja Scroll and Akira, yeah.
And, like, Biohunter will be there for some reason. Anyway.
Project Aiko.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So, I mean, have you been watching anything for fun, you know?
For fun? This is a little old. I watched King of Bandaging in Seventh Heaven again, which has been like a little while since I watched that show at all. And I don't know, I like that show a lot. It's like a weird, like, it's sort of like Soul Eater, a little bit like One Piece, a little bit, but it's about a thief. And I don't know, I like that show a lot. That particular like OAV movie is about him going to jail to find like a dream crystal or something. And it's not anything really, you know, it's not like a hard thinker anime, but it's fun and I really like the designs in it.
That one has a lot of, it takes a lot of inspiration from a lot of different art movements. Like, for that reason, I like the way that show looks.
Yeah.
The story can, whatever, but, you know.
Yeah, the story in that is not anything to write home about. I mean, it's very, like, he's a thief, and what is he stealing this episode? And then it's all about, let's make this look neat.
Yeah, totally. 100%. Well, that's cool. Hope, you haven't said anything. What's
I said hi.
Yeah, it's true. What have you been watching? I mean, obviously fall or spring season stuff.
Right. So a lot of spring season stuff. I mean, like recent movies maybe that have come out. I mean, is that on the table?
Yeah, we can get to that. But let's do anime first.
Anime first. Okay. Well, of the shows that are airing this spring, and I can say this, and there won't be, hopefully there won't be any accusations of, oh, you're just a pessimist or you're just, you know, you just think this for every season. Because I think I remember last winter and last fall, I was like, this is a really good season. This spring sucks. It sucks. All the stuff that, like, I thought might be kind of special turned out to be crappy, except for one really great thing. And most of the rest is, like, negligible sort of product that's not interesting. Like, products can be interesting, but, like, I enjoy Sword Art Online. It was maybe not a good show, but I enjoyed it, so I thought maybe I could sort of, like, ironically or just passively enjoy the Dungeon Boobs show, as we call it. It's a Danmachi Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, and it is, to me, dull as dog shit. Couldn't get through it. So, I mean, and that and just several other shows are just really bland and flat, and there's kind of nothing to them. But, I mean, so the one big shining light in my season is Blood Blockade Battlefront, which I'm actually writing about, too. And that's just, I don't know, it's just really, really solid. But I feel like talking about that is weird because I've already written an insane amount about it, so.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of weird. But other stuff that's not Blood Blockade that I'm not disappointed in, there's two things, I guess. The My Love Story, which is the shoujo rom-com, and it's just sort of pure sugar. Like, it's just the weekly giant spoonful of sugar in the back of your face. And that's fine. Like, it kind of doesn't need to be anything more than that. It's just super saccharine and sweet and happy. And then a show that I've been watching for some reason, I don't know, I just keep watching it, is this Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches thing, which is, it starts out as a body swap comedy, but the whole Seven Witches thing is that there's seven girls in the school, theoretically, that have superpowers that they're not aware of, that they activate by kissing somebody. So originally they find the first girl and it's a body swapping thing because every time she kisses somebody she switches places with them, and so that's the first couple episodes. But then after that they get into other stuff like telepathy and seeing the future and shit like that, And it's, I don't know, it's nice because it just has its own unique sense of humor that's not, like, crappy rote anime comedy stuff. It's kind of relaxed and chill and fun, and the body swap stuff actually seems fresh because, as it turns out, this was written by a woman, and I think that kind of makes a difference because usually in guy-penned, like, body swap comedies, the joke is always that, like, a girl freaks out and gets really upset and says, "Don't touch my boobs," or whatever, you know, something ridiculous like that, or she walks around and she's super girly in the guy's body and they make gay jokes. Like, that's usually what it is, and there's absolutely none of that in Yamada-kun. The girls act completely normal, and the guys are the ones who kind of overdo it because they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna try to pass for a girl," and they act like Betty Boop, and everybody's like, "What's wrong with you?" Like, there's something off about it. So it's just a little bit more, like, down-to-earth and chill. But it's kind of just a comedy, so it's just, like, these two just comedies, and then Blood Blockade, which is fantastic, and then a lot of, like, blah. So this is kind of a blah anime season for me, but, yeah.
Gosh, sounds great.
It's fantastic. I mean, yeah, JoJo's is almost over, but JoJo's is a carryover, you know, and JoJo's has been continually great, but I don't know, there's really not much more to say about it other than, gosh, it sure is wacky, and... You know, they sure are coming down to the final battle with Dio. Like, you know, there's not much more to it, so...
I mean, at this point, I think everybody's, like, sung the praises of JoJo's. I mean, I'm still
exactly.
watching that slowly.
It's been around for a couple years now, and it's, you know...
I feel like fan enthusiasm for JoJo's is tapering off. But I think that's because it's in the sad part of the story now, right? And
yeah.
It's ending, so... Yeah.
Not all the Crusaders come back home.
No. Well, I mean, I'm hoping that, because, like, you know, we've been in Stardust Crusaders for a while. I mean, I'm hoping they do more stuff after that, just because it would be neat to see that stuff finally animated, even if it's not as good. Like, they could still do a decent adaptation of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not watching anything this season. Blood Blockade, I'm like... 6 episodes behind or something. Like, I watch it when I have, you know, a little bit of spare time, like in the mornings or something. But yeah, this is one of the weakest seasons in a while. And they say that every time, like you said, but this one really, no, seriously, it is.
See, I've said the opposite for, I think, like, maybe a full year. Like, oh, this is a really good anime season, there's, like, 6 things I like, and now it's like, nope, this is officially a dumpy one.
Well, I mean, Winter was so good, so you can't, like, come off of that and expect it to be the same. This is more likely just normal.
Yeah.
Normal
I
that
guess.
There's like, a few... Yeah, nah, whatever. There's no, like, definitive way. There's no, like, yes, it's this.
Right,
because everyone's
it depends on your taste. But, like, even, like, the big thing is Fates Day Night, and that... No. I liked the first season of Fates Day Night a lot, and then the second half started, and almost immediately it became boring. I was like, ugh, stuff with Caster, boring. Stuff with Ilya, emotionally ineffective because they just sort of plopped it in front of you, also kind of boring. Like... And then, you know, the shitstorm that was the recent stuff with it. But it's so dull. Archer's fucking reveal and his entire Archer story is dull. It's, hate. So, yeah,
How does it compare to, like, the movie adaptation of that? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen any. I saw Fate Zero, and I've seen this Unlimited Blade Works thing, and I've seen large swaths of the visual novel and read transcriptions of the stuff that I didn't see. So, but I haven't seen, like, the original... show from 2006 or anything like that.
They adapted Unlimited Blade Works into a movie, and it's very, like, obviously, what's the word? Concatenated? Condensed. That's the word I wanted. It's obviously very condensed, but I wonder, like, if that ends up being the better version of it.
Unless they change, you know, the entire problem, it is a little bit that it's decompressed and it's like, okay, get to the point, you don't have enough story here. Like, that is a problem, but at the same time, even if you condensed it, you would still have, like, a bad, lame, like, power fantasy eye-rolling thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the only things I've been watching anime-wise are one show for review, Turn a Gundam... which I will fully admit I am fascinated and completely fucking baffled by. So I fully admit, like, I have not, I've seen plenty of Tomino stuff, but not a ton of it. And so when I come back to it, it blows my mind how completely fucking weird everything he does is. Like, it's antithetical to storytelling. Like, it seems to me like if there's a straight line between point A and point B in a story, Tomino will go in figure eights and circles and loop-de-loops instead of a straight line to get to point B, and we'll do it as confusingly as possible with starts and stops along the way. He'll jump and you won't know where he's going, and it is just impossible. Like, every time I'm sitting down and watching it, there's at least three, like, what? Why did you make that choice moments, like, per episode? Like, why would you choose to show us that? Why are you showing us this part twice? Why are you cutting to this? Why are we focusing on that character? Like, all of it is backwards from how you think a TV show is supposed to be put together. I find it really fascinating. I don't think Tomino is incompetent. I think he's just so eccentric that it reaches this, like, other plane. And I feel like I have to climb up to reach him there in order to understand. I'm not fully into Gaturne Gundam yet, so I feel like I'm not, like, at some point it's just going to click, and it'll all just start making sense, and maybe I'll watch enough of this, and other things will start seeming weird. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a trip. That show is a trip. I'm enjoying it, but...
Is it weirder than, like, Overman King Gainer, or...?
No, I don't know about that. I mean, it's definitely not stranger than, like... You know, I don't know. I mean, like, Aura Battler Dunbean is a really weird show.
There's no ferrets doing the monkey in the opening credits.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's so fucking bizarre. I don't know. But I'm enjoying it. I'm going to review that for the site. And then the other thing I'm watching is Trigun, which is for this show. We're going to record that in 2 weeks, I think. So I got to get on top of that. I've only watched one episode of it, and it is taking me straight back to the 90s. When the anime conventions hard. And the landscape was ruled by Vash coats as far as the eye can see.
Slayers, comedy faces.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very dated. That's definitely true. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been watching. We've been to the movies a lot lately. Obviously, everyone's talking about Mad Max, which we both loved.
Yeah.
I loved it too. I saw it.
Yeah,
I really loved it.
I feel like if you didn't love that movie, like, maybe you don't. Maybe you're not really into genre action.
Movies.
Like, genre action, if that movie doesn't do it for you, I don't know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, you must have very specific taste, because it's trying to please basically anyone that's ever liked a genre action movie.
Mm-hmm.
By giving you just what you want the whole time. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah,
I mean...
The office now has a wall with a Mad Max Fury Road poster right next to a Trigun poster, so it's a very themed leather in the desert wall.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that was good. And then we sat through Tomorrowland, which...
Ugh, Jesus.
...was no good at all.
No.
I'm glad you bit that bullet for me.
What a stinker, man. But, you know, it's Damon Lindelof, and, like, I didn't know that until, like, the day before.
I didn't know till the end credits, and then I did, like, a Donald Sutherland point right there in the theater. Like, oh!
I did that on purpose. I knew it was him when we went to the theater, and I was like, I bet this is going to come up right at the end credits.
Yeah.
And I waited to see your reaction to it.
And it was Body Snatchers, just, oh!
Yeah.
I understand now, you know.
But it could have, you know, I figured Brad Bird, right? He hasn't made a bad movie until now.
Well, you figured he would, like, try and rein in Lindelof, right?
That's what you would assume.
Well, yeah, apparently that's not what happened.
But that's not what happened. And the movie is just, it is 2 hours of fucking nothing, and then, like, 10 minutes of a pretty okay movie, like, at the end. Everything that's interesting about that movie is in the last, like, 10 minutes or so.
And, oh man, if you don't like proselytizing, and most people don't, this movie, it's the worst sermonizing in the service of no plot points, just people sitting down and talking directly to the camera about their moral, like, what they feel is right and their idealism and that sort of thing, like, straight up... As bad as a Christian movie, like a low-budget VHS Christian propaganda kind of movie.
Yeah.
It's that bad, and it's a Disney movie.
It is as didactic as your average Christian movie. Like, here's how schmaltzy this fucking movie is. So, George Clooney's character has this big doomsday clock that predicts the end of the world, and it has, like, 100% chance of the world ending. And the main character, which is a plucky optimist girl who just wants to save the world... He says, like, well, you can't do anything to stop this. And she goes, well, sure, we can. And then the percentage that the world is going to end goes down by 1%.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
It was... And the reveal, like, the you don't... I guess it doesn't matter if you spoil it, but, like, the reveal as to why the stupid clock works the way it does and why the world is going to end is just even more like, ah, treacle, you know. Yeah. But I mean, once you get there, it's like, even then, the world-ending clock stuff at the last 10-15 minutes in the movie... The reason Tomorrowland doesn't work so hard is because the movie doesn't start until the last 10 minutes. It's like that's your entire... The whole movie is almost a first act. And then the last 10 minutes is like end of the first act, second and third. And it's like, why didn't you make this the whole film? Most of this movie is them wandering around the middle of the countryside proselytizing to the camera while they wait for the plot to start. Like, it's so bad. So bad.
Well, yeah, and the movie is—it's all plot. There's no story. For people who don't maybe know the difference or have never had the difference sort of laid out for them, the story of Lord of the Rings is hero goes on a journey to save the world. The plot of Lord of the Rings is there is a hobbit. He lives in Bag End. There's a wizard who comes to visit him. That's the plot.
Yeah,
so that's the difference between story and plot. Tomorrowland's story is supposedly hero needs to uncover a secret. That's basically it.
Kind of it.
The problem is that she already knows the secret at the very beginning of the movie, and the only thing she learns at the end is shit she already knew.
Uh-huh.
So there's no fucking story.
And the plot is like, they drive around in back roads and have comedy adventures in the style of Damon Lindelof, and a bunch of side roads that don't lead anywhere, and bad dialogue, and... Yeah. Like, literally, when I'm talking about it, comparing it to, like, Christian films or propaganda films, there is literally the we are sitting in a classroom straw man teacher scene.
Yeah, there's a straw man teacher, that's a thing, too.
You know, it's like, oh my god, no.
Yeah.
Now the question is there a Jonathan Sperry in it?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a Jonathan Sperry character. For people who don't know, it's this really super didactic, weird, kind of creepy Christian movie about
an
this
old
guy,
man
Jonathan
named
Sperry.
Jonathan Sperry. Yeah.
Hangs out with all the neighborhood kids and gives them chocolate cake to come in his house and pray with him. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, it was a bad movie. in the coming weeks, I think the thing I'm looking forward to next is the Pixar thing, which the trailers looked bad, but mm-hmm. everyone's saying it's fucking incredible, so I'm excited about it.
Wow, okay. I try not to judge for trailers, but that movie did not look good at all from the trailers. It looked very, very hacky and just like, oh, here's exactly what you think a movie like this would be.
Frozen had garbage marketing too, so I guess it's
Very much so.
Honestly, like, name the last animated movie that you thought... I think the last animated movie that had incredible marketing that made me want to run to the theater and see it right then was Wreck-It Ralph, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of another one that was, like, effectively marketed and made you sort of understand that this was going to be good. But I guess, you know, they're selling cartoons to families, and I figure that maybe they figure that's who they have to try and sell hardest to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But all the reviews for Inside Out are amazing, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and get some of these Twitter questions before we get to the chat here. All right. Portal Blast asks, new anime that you wish you could buy a cell from, but can't due to the fact that, you know, they don't make cells anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, do you have one?
I have probably too many to name. Like, anything
well,
that
pick
I...
pick one.
What, pick one?
Just pick... First thing that comes to mind.
First... just because of the whole, I guess, dark and gritty, like, looking style of it. I guess Psychopass? I don't know. Like, a quote-unquote cell from Psychopass that has, like, Makishima... with a knife, or the lead guy with a gun, or something, a Dominator, or something like that. I mean, that'd be cool. Just because it looks kind of arty. The backgrounds in that show are really detailed. But, I mean, a lot of things. Like, I could list a ton of things, but they don't do cells anymore. So.
Yeah. What about you, Brady?
Probably something cool from JoJo's, probably. I think as long as, like, a cool pose or action, something with maybe Joseph, maybe. With Joseph or, Jotaro, that's who I'm thinking of.
Right.
People are saying Space Dandy. Like, I associate Space Dandy with, like, a lot of, like, fluid animation and stuff like that. So, I mean, I would think of something with, like, still... I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that's not a totally valid choice, because it is. I'm sure there's a lot of great stills from Space Dandy. But, like, I'm thinking, like, something where every still frame is really cool looking, rather than maybe, like, the animation, because you're getting, like, one piece of a face or whatever.
Well, yeah. I was actually going to say Space Dandy because there's a shot specifically that I would want, which is this. It's a still though. I'm not sure that that it's animated characters.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it as just a still. It's kind of a Route 66 looking shot where it's that episode where he has that little girl that he has to like return to her grandfather.
Right.
They go on kind of a road trip and he's got like this caddy and it's kind of a Route 66 meets sort of the futurism that's in Space Dandy. So lots of neon, but also like a sunset and some desert.
Right.
It was like a really perfect like tableau of like a bunch of different design elements that I really like all in one thing. So
that would be
I'm
a
not
background.
Sure. That's more, I think that's a background. Yeah. I'm not sure there's even any moving characters on it. So yeah.
I think I realized probably something also from like Kill la Kill, like one of those crazy perspective shots of like Ryuko and Sasuke fighting, maybe something like that. Maybe I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure plenty of people would want like Kyoani stuff, and yeah.
Is there
that.
One of Ryuko's butt hanging out? Because that's the one. And there's like 20 million of those. If you think, yeah, I know.
Okay, Flappy Jick asks. So, what are your thoughts on Sound Euphonium so far? If you're watching it, I am not watching Sound Euphonium. The first episode seemed fine to me. As it has gone on, I'm reading Nick's reviews. He's very enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
Reading his reviews make me feel like I don't need to watch that show unless I just want to stare at it because it's pretty.
I'm watching it. I like it more than most KyoAni stuff. I'm not really a fan in general of KyoAni things because they're just so aimless. But there's, like, with Sound Euphonium, the characters feel a little bit more like people than the Moe girl, like, I'm just here so you can stare at my thighs characters, like in K-On! And stuff like that. And I understand those shows work for little girls as well, too, in Japan. K-On! Was a huge hit because it worked for a female audience, both younger and older. I get that, but at the same time, those characters are just so weird fantasy escapism. Like, you know, even though it's for little girls, I don't watch stuff on the Disney Channel, you know, like, so it's kind of like that. Sound Euphonium is a little to the left of that, where it's a little bit more grounded, and they feel more like actual middle schoolers, and it's super accurate to all the band stuff, like, the sound element of Sound Euphonium is good, but it's still super drippy, nostalgia, not really anything happens kind of a show, and then it really turned me off with its most recent episode. I think the most blatant, like, so in most KyoAni shows and most Moe shows, there's just a little bit of baiting, like, are they gonna kiss, you know, kind of thing for otaku, because they like to maybe imagine the girls kissing, but not really, or something like that. But Sound Euphonium's most recent episode had the most blatant, like, over the top, this isn't even baiting, this has to be literal, like, lesbian stuff in it. And I think, okay, that's great, that's fine if that's what you're actually doing. Like, if Sound Euphonium suddenly turns into a lesbian romance between these two characters, that would be fantastic and fun and, like, neat, because it's neat because the main character, like, has this guy that's constantly dogging her and like, asking her out and stuff, and she has zero interest in him, and it's kind of funny because usually there's some interest there. She's just not remotely tuned into that guy, but there's this other girl, and they had this huge lesbian scene in the most recent episode, and it's like, okay, if that's where this is going, this is great. If it's baiting, though, if it's just, ooh, this, you know, they're totally straight, but look at how sexual this is, then that's just really lame and gross and stupid. So, I don't know, it could go either way, but for the most part, it's like, yeah, I like this more than most KyoAni things. It's not as good as Free, which had a plot and humor and dynamism, and instead of just shots of people standing around in nostalgic backgrounds, so it's not as good as Free, but I'll take it over most KyoAni stuff, but it's still eh. So there you go.
I don't know, man, sounds like you want to fight with KyoAni fans.
I don't want to fight with them, I'm just saying, like, man, that stuff is not my bag. It's like, I don't like the nostalgia wallow. Like, I do appreciate that it is very much like helping you learn about like band instruments and stuff like that, and extreme attention to detail. Like, that stuff has value and that's neat. But like, yeah, the nostalgia wallow and the look at our thighs, you know, not my thing. And they've done it 20 million times and it's not my thing. It's kind of boring. So yeah.
Maybe they should have called the show Nostalgia Thighs.
Yeah, that's not a bad description of a lot of KyoAni.
I'm glad to know it's not a filter in Adobe Premiere and actually a cartoon now, or anime, right? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked the way that show looked. Like, they did a phenomenal job making that show look incredible, but it was very clear to me from the outset that this is a nostalgia wallow, and I'm okay with that. I'm not sure I need 13 episodes of it. Like, I kind of prefer that as, like, a film. Like, I'm okay with an hour and a half of that.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to watch 13 episodes of something that's mostly just... Remember the days,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't.
No,
mean to
I'm
say.
Not. I was never a Japanese high school girl, so no, I don't remember the days.
Yeah. Although,
you
as I say,
believe it or not,
that show does have one great line, which is the girl names her tuba. Like some of them name their instruments. She names her tuba Tuba Cabra, and there's a really good line in there where she's making it talk, and it's like, "My name is Tuba Cabra. You were born to blow me." It's like, okay, that's funny. That's great.
Yeah, all right. 4DM asks, could you see Adult Swim picking up Ninja Slayer? It's very much in the William Street style. I mean, yeah, I don't know if they will, but I could definitely see that show on Adult Swim because that is its number one influence, aside from the books that it's based on, is obviously William Street shows.
Right.
Like, I don't see how you could watch that and think... This was produced with no knowledge of William Street.
Yeah, no.
Like, no way.
I mostly kind of just want to watch that show in English because I think the particular brand of comedy that it's going for kind of will work more in like a intentionally mildly offensive weird English dub, I guess.
Well, the dub is up. Mike actually reviewed it in the most last week's write-up had the dub in it, so. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it works better. The dub is purposefully, like, corny and it has new jokes in it because it's dubbed. So, you know, they're going for it. They're going for the full effect on every version of that. I believe Viewster has, like, crazy, like, funny subs. Like, but that's sanctioned. Like, the people who made it, they wanted them to do that.
Yeah, and it makes sense because, I mean, I saw the first couple episodes in Japanese and I stopped because it was like, oh, this needs more jokes. Like, it's the one joke played straight.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not watching that show.
It's the one joke played straight, and it's like, no, this needs to be, like, just assaulted and peppered with references and jokes to this kind of style of thing. But, like, and they should do that in the English dub because the Japanese doesn't, and it's like, one joke.
Yeah, Ninja Slayer did not grab me. I thought I watched it. I thought, and then didn't watch any more of it. It's perfectly fine. It is perfectly fine for what it is. I just it didn't grab me. Brady, have you seen that at all?
I heard about the broadcast dub actually because somebody had said, "Hey, check this out. You'd probably like this." And then they announced the broadcast dub. So I was like, you know what? I'll probably wait for that because it seems like that would be the way to watch it when I did.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Blue Plain Claire asks, are there any recent shows with good or catchy soundtracks that you would consider buying for further listening?
Blood Blockade Battlefront.
Okay.
Like, say that three times fast, there you go. I mean, also JoJo's. JoJo's is a really fantastic soundtrack. And, Tokyo Ghoul. So those three. JoJo's, Tokyo Ghoul, definitely Blood Blockade. All really good soundtracks.
Yeah, for me, I guess just Death Parade. That's it, though.
JoJo's, me too.
Yeah, JoJo's, sure. Let's see here. Our friend Corey asks, do you see Japan diving headfirst into streaming TV in the near future, say the next 7 years, the way the West has? I mean, sometime in the next decade, sure. But that's just the way broadcast is moving. Japan takes a while to catch up. So, at some point... But who knows how and when, and, you know, we'll see. They're not there yet, so we'll find out.
They're trying stuff, which is promising, but, yeah, it's going to get there eventually because it's just how things are going to be.
Yeah. Let's see. Zero Particle asks, Hope, this one's for you for set list material, for Hope's column, the set list, the video feature, if you haven't checked it out. Do you plan on branching to music genres like 10 notable anime J-rock themes or 10 piano tracks?
I mean, I could. The problem, I guess, the problem with both of those two specific suggestions is that they're too broad. But like all J-rock or all piano based, you know, like how do you even look that up? Like with how, what's your time frame of like years, etc. But like as far as like more specific or more like unique topics than just the year, absolutely. Like I've thought of doing that. My main thing right now is to try and pick subjects that seem like people would want to watch them. Like, well, the stuff that it's like I pick Full Metal Alchemist, or I pick like a specific year, a specific franchise or year, because it's like, oh, I've heard of that. You know, if you pick some sort of obscure categorization, it's maybe as less interesting to immediately look at. So, I mean, I'm trying to stick with the basics first, but I'm sure like if it runs for a while, I'll eventually dip into stuff that's more like specific or segmented or themed. But yeah.
Right.
Top 20 reggae anime themes, Hope.
Yeah, exactly. When there's, I promise, Brady, when 20 exist, I'll make one, but, you know.
All right. AbZero now asks, do you think Funimation is self-sabotaging by teasing a complete series box for Aquarian Evol a year after it's treated? Okay, so I think I'm just going to throw out a hypothesis. This guy bought Aquarian Evol and is now irked that they have announced a complete series box too soon after he has purchased it. I could be wrong, but usually when we get questions like this, that's the case. Either way, no, usually that means it didn't sell that well, so they're issuing a complete box to try and make some money back. Typically, as a guess. I have no idea if it did or not.
I've heard that show is bonkers, but I don't know if I'm supposed to see the first one before I can watch it. But.
Well, it's Kawamori, right?
Yeah, I've been told it is it is cuckoo, and I'm like, oh, I wanna, it's a sequel, though, and it's like, oh, well.
I'm going to say, honestly, like, if you buy the, because like, Funimation usually puts out half-season sets. If you buy those and don't think they're going to put out a complete series box eventually at some point, you're sort of fooling yourself, because that's just going to happen eventually. Like, yeah. Expect it.
I mean, he's never going to outdo Arjuna. Never. I don't care how crazy. Like, I do not care how crazy that show is. It's probably not as crazy as Arjuna, and I feel very confident saying that.
Yeah, I don't think so. They can't be.
All right. Full Metal Naru asks, in your opinion, should Western cartoons be called anime? You might be surprised how heated a debate this can be. No, I guarantee you I would not be surprised how heated a debate that can be. But to me, this is not a debate. Anime is a loan word in English that we use to mean Japanese animation. That's it. That's it. Doesn't apply to anything else here. In Japanese, it means all animation. But we're not Japanese. We're not speaking Japanese. Mm-hmm. We are English speakers using the English loan word anime, which means Japanese animation. We have lots of loan words. Lots
came
of
from
them.
The French to begin with, anyway.
Right. Anyway.
I just call it cartoons, and people get mad at me, but I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like calling them all cartoons. Same. Because it makes people angry. No,
like,
not,
this is
not
my
really.
Favorite cartoon from Japan. They're like, it's not a cartoon. I'm like, but it is. You know.
Part of me likes calling it cartoons because I feel like that is a show that, hey, I'm fun-loving. I'm not taking this stuff too seriously, you know, even though right. I do it for a living. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still kind of like a fun. It indicates that you're fun and you're having fun. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know.
Like Space Dandy, like that's a cartoon. Come on, the chat leaves the word cartoon for like Space Dandy.
Yeah, and the chat is pointing out that anime is a French term, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. We don't need to get that pedantic. let's see. He also asks if Funimation recast all the characters in the disappearance of Yuki Nagato spinoff. Who should they hire for each part? Well. They announced the cast this morning, and it's the same cast that they had for the show, so never mind. Mm-hmm. You'll get to hear all your favorites return in the cast of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Where they all sort of wander around and have cliche sitcom antics, which was the original show, too, but in fairness, like other fantasy elements, too. This is just sitcom stuff.
Okay. And he also asks, what's your opinion of his and her circumstances? Well, like everyone, it starts out great, and it peters off into nothing, and then you can tell when Anno quit. Because the show just completely jumps off a bridge. It's not worth watching, because the ending is so nothing and bad. The show just completely derails, I think. Anybody?
I don't remember that show. Like, I saw it, but it just exited my memory.
Yeah, I barely remember anything about it, or if I even finished it. Like, I know I started it at some point, and then never. I don't remember it.
I bet you remember the opening theme.
I do.
Everyone remembers that.
I do.
That's the only thing of that show people like remember, and the closing theme is good too. Mm. Even though they just put a camera on the floor and moved it around through a high school.
Right.
God, that show was cheap. Okay. Invalid Name asks, are anime endings slipping? I haven't seen a great one since Madoka. Now it's just hope we get a second season or nothing. I don't think it's like a trend. Anime endings are bad now. I think, you know, most shows don't really blow you away with the ending or anything. I mean,
That's usually not really the intent. Hey, Yurikuma, that was a great ending, but if you were watching Yurikuma to begin with, like, that was a knock your socks off, but, you know.
I'm only halfway through, so please don't ruin it.
Oh, of course, I won't say anything. But, like, it kind of depends on what the intent is. Like, if they're making an adaptation of something, like, usually the intent is to leave it kind of nice and open-ended. Like, they don't usually blow it right up at the end, unless it's an original material. If it's original material, it's either going to, like, fall in on itself, or they are planning, like, a huge blow-up thing, you know.
I mean, I haven't seen, like, a truly spectacular ending or anything in a while. Like, Death Parade was great, I thought. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wouldn't call that indicative of a trend. I wouldn't say, like, endings are bad now. That's weird to me. That's a weird way to phrase that. That's like saying, have you noticed that in anime the second act is kind of weak? It's like, no, actually, I haven't noticed that, like, I find the phrasing on that one kind of tough to process. I can't really crunch it in my head. It's just, I haven't really seen an ending that blew me away in a long time, except for Death Parade in the last, like, maybe year or two, but I don't really keep track of that stuff, I guess. I don't, like, think, well, the last good ending I saw was blah, blah.
Yeah, I was gonna say Shirobako was really good. You know,
I still haven't watched the ending of Shirobako.
I think, well, in general, I used to say that is a mantra that I've actually always disagreed with anyway, the idea that anime ends poorly. I'm like, as opposed to what? Like, how many television shows, usually running for many more seasons than anime does, you know, American television dramas, like, how many end well? Not very many at all. Usually, like, the rending of clothes and gnashing of teeth over a non-committal or confusing ending to an American television show is pretty high. And with anime, I think it's the same thing. Usually it's shorter, so, like, the journey is shorter, there's less disappointment if it doesn't pan out. And I haven't been horribly disappointed by that many anime series endings. Like, I'm really okay with, like, not everything being closed up tight. Like, a lot of people really like the Harry Potter endings on stuff. I don't. Like, I can't stand Harry Potter endings on stuff where it's like, and here's what happened to every single character, and it's all happy and neat, and here's the rest, like, 30 years afterward. I hate that. Like, I like stuff to be kind of nebulous and already and open-ended, but firmly establish what it's trying to say and then get out. I don't need to know all the nitty-gritty. So anime usually pleases me. So I'm usually fine with it.
I think the abnormal thing is to have a really spectacular ending, really. Like, that's the abnormal thing. Like,
yeah, like Tokyo Ghoul, for instance. Like, they left a bunch of stuff, like, they intentionally kind of left a bunch of stuff hanging. It kind of only covers the most important part of the ending, and everything else is left nebulous, and that's fine by me. I wasn't disappointed by it at all. I'm like, oh, that's good. That was emotionally fulfilling. So my needs are just maybe less. My needs are less for things like that.
All right. Last Twitter question. Trillane says, thoughts on Anno Hideaki saying anime is dying. Is it just him saying the current bubble isn't sustainable? Okay, so as everyone has pointed out, he says this a lot. Like, every, like, 7 or 8 years, he says anime is dying. It's not going to be around much longer. Like, he's into saying that a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't think it, you know, in regards to the current environment, yeah, like, we're in a bubble, right? It's a production bubble right now. I don't know how much longer we're going to get 200-plus new shows a year.
Yeah.
But if the bubble pops, everybody, like, we already kind of had a bubble pop, like, 7 or 8 years ago. Production has ramped up past what it was then a little bit. But even if it pops, the major players are in a position to where a bubble bursting isn't going to hurt them in the same way that it did 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're in a pretty okay position, at least in my estimation. Production cannot stay where it is right now forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we might drop down to horror of horrors, only 20 new shows per season. You know, 100, 100 or 120 new shows a year instead of 200. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the market can't sustain that, I don't think. But, yeah. I don't know. Brady, any thoughts?
On the anime industry's bubble bursting?
Yeah. yeah. No, nothing?
I mean, that's the thing, like, in my, you know, working with anime, I always work on really old stuff. I'm probably right. I mean, the thing is any kind of industry where you have doubled production on that specific thing, like, you know, I mean, you look at even in America with, like, DreamWorks, like, they're cutting back everything, and then they're shipping all their animation overseas because it's not worth the production money. Because they've, you know, there's just too many animated movies now. So.
Well, that's DreamWorks also being incredibly stupid about budgets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, DreamWorks has a lot of problems, and it's, you know, that studio would be more profitable if they didn't spend $250 million on every movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the movies that they spend a little less on, like Penguins of Madagascar, underperform because, hey, it turns out nobody wants that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I mean, like, do you think the budget is wasted on these newer shows, though? I mean, it's the same idea, right? I don't know.
Anime is just at an unsustainable level of production. It's just too much.
Mm. Well, yeah. Oh, well, 200 shows a year. How can you... Because it's all about the merch, too, right? Because that's how they make back a lot of their money.
Yeah.
And how do they, like, people only have a certain amount, like, a certain budget of, like, they can spend on merchandise as it is. How can you keep that going? And, I mean, there's also all the R&D into the statues and the artists, all that sort of stuff. So there's no way. Like, you can't keep that going at this rate. No way. I think even if they cut it down to, like, 100 shows, it would still be too much. You know, I still think that's a lot on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't see it changing too dramatically anytime really soon, but I do see production dropping off. If only because when you have 200 shows and, like, of those, maybe, like, four or five are genuine hits, and then the rest are kind of, That's not really sustainable. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Okay, so that's the Twitter questions. Let's take some from the chat. So now's your time. Just pose a question, and we'll take those. All right, first up from Meh. We get this question pretty often. Do you think JoJo would be a good fit for Toonami? Maybe, I guess. Sure? I don't know.
It would be nice. Don't they have to take out all the, like, names? Like Vanilla.
The names and stuff, yeah. I mean, I would imagine the dub that's being produced does that already. Well, who knows? We'll find out. But
yeah, that's frankly one of the biggest charms about JoJo's, is seeing how and why he references certain bands and things like that. Like, that's one of the charms. And I like, when I'm writing that show up, like, I don't put whatever they wrote in the subtitles. I put what the Japanese actors are saying. And if they're saying Oingo and Boingo, then I say Oingo and Boingo. I don't say Zenyatta Mondatta. You know, so it's like, I hearing that in the dub and them not saying Vanilla Ice or whatever, it just kind of kills it. It's not fun anymore, you know. But, I mean, it's still a fun show. It kills the, I don't know, it's the special spark of something that, like, you drag people over and you go, okay, look at this. It's not the same without the names. It's a little different, you know.
Yeah, wasn't it like they turned Santana into, like, San Viento or something weird like that?
Something like that, yeah.
It's weird too, because the Japanese Blu-rays have subtitles, and those aren't altered, obviously, but all the stream ones are altered.
Yeah, well, they're terrified of being sued.
No doubt. I don't think that would make or break it on Toonami. I think it would be a good fit. I think probably the broadcast rights to some of the music is... at least the ending songs might be a little hard, though. I feel like they've probably figured most of that out for at least the DVD and all that. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm real skeptical about that DVD. I mean, what is it, like 8 or 9 episodes a disc?
Ooh.
And it's, yeah.
And is it like dub only? Maybe they're thinking.
No. It says subtitles on the package.
Okay, so.
It went from being solicited to subtitle only to dub only, and then now it's bilingual, apparently.
Okay, yeah. So maybe they heard the hue and cry of people realizing this better have subtitles on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, that just screams, like, dumping it out to market. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm not that excited about a super budget release. I just, you know, we'll see. We're going to interview those guys, a couple of people responsible for that release at Anime Expo this year, so we'll have some answers for you pretty soon. Let's see here. Hazakari asks, so after seeing Tomorrowland, how do you feel about Brad Bird making a second Incredibles movie? Well, you know, I mean, Damon Lindelof's probably not going to write that, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. I mean,
I'm not exactly crying out for a sequel to The Incredibles. I know, like, a lot of people were. But I'm okay with that movie. I don't think it's, like, the greatest thing ever made. It's perfectly fine. It's very entertaining. But, you know, I don't know. I understand I think that movie's going to do crazy box office. And people are going to probably love it no matter what. But, you know, we get two original Pixar movies this year, like new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting what I want this year. I'm not going to complain about more sequels.
Right.
I mean, I think of all their movies, it's probably the easiest and one to sequelize.
Yeah, that was the big thing is, like, I wanted a sequel to The Incredibles, like, 5 years ago. Now, yeah.
No, I don't care.
Well, right. I mean, it's been a little too long, so it's like, but I remember thinking at the time, oh, like, don't sequelize Finding Nemo, sequelize this or whatever, but it was, it's like, it's been a little long, so now it's like, yes, that's nice, but I'm not, like, super excited. Like, you kind of need to keep those, like, close together, you know?
Well, it feels like, oh, the superhero boom's here. We have to do this now because of the superhero boom. And then by the time it's done, who knows where the whole superhero thing is going to be.
Amagee asks, what anime that you like would make a good video game? Well, people are talking about JoJo's a lot. I mean, I don't care for fighting games too much. I like Street Fighter and, like, the occasional Mortal Kombat, and I like playing around with, like, old fighting games. Like, they're fine. I don't, like, get into them, though. So, like, a fighting game has very little entertainment value for me. Like, a few hours, tops. And, like, if I have friends over or something and we can bust out some Soul Calibur, that's fun for a while. But I'm not, like, into fighting games. But a JoJo's, like, brawler or, like, a Diablo-style game I think would be really cool and fun. Like, you could really do something good with that.
I think there was a brawler during the GeoGeo arc for PS2 that never came out here. I think they did make one a long time ago. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, I love fighting games. I work on fighting games, so I'm more into them than you. But I think the JoJo's fighting game is exactly what you said. Like, I don't feel it's a like. I'm sure there's technicality to it, but it's not a. It's not like a Third Strike super technical fighting game. It's just sort of kind of fun to mess around with. So I'd like to see them do something else like that with JoJo's. I mean, they adapted like Modica into a weird game, and like a lot of those games just don't really work.
Yeah, well, anime games are inherently tie-in games, and they just, you know, people don't put a lot of effort into them. So, you know,
I think the worst tie-in anime game I ever played was Fate Tiger Colosseum for PlayStation Portable. I had to review it for a magazine, and it was the worst thing I ever played. Like, that is, like, pointing at the, like, here's a tie-in, and there's no point to it, and it's garbage.
Onikuno asks, what's the most annoying common fan panel that you see at every convention that you wish you could eliminate from all future programming? So, okay, I want to stress, I don't really think any programming should be eliminated from conventions. Like, it doesn't impact me. I don't give a fuck. Like, if I go to an anime con and a third of the programming is fucking ponies or whatever, that is, yeah, you know what? It kind of sucks, but it's really no skin off my nose. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't impact my life. It means nothing to me. But, you know, I mean, the panels that kind of get me that I've seen are, it's called, like, you know, like, your favorite anime sucks, and it's just two, like, confrontational nerds who think they're, like, YouTube, like, you know, nostalgia critic ripoff types that'll get up there and be like, Evangelion sucks, come at me, bros. And then that's the panel. Mm-hmm. The panel is their edgy opinions. Mm-hmm. And that's so lame. That is so lame. I can't get my head around it. So, you know, I guess those, if you know.
Having seen footage from a couple of them, I mean, I agree with Zach that, like, nothing should be, like, expunged or whatever, like, it's kind of harmless or whatever, but I guess the worst ones that I've seen that it's like, no, is the panels. It's like, loli aficionados, like, what's the history of LoliCon, and who's your favorite, like, loli waifu or whatever. And I said this explicitly because I've seen footage from two of them, and it was some of the, like, most your skin gets off your bones and runs out of the room footage. And not because of the premise of the panel, but because of the stuff that happened during it, where it's just like, oh, no. So, I mean, I guess that, because it's just unsettling, and nobody, I can't imagine, like, somebody who mistakenly walks in there and, like, you know, sees some of the stuff that was happening in that room, but, you know, it was just, yeah. But, so some of the panels that are not, like, not 18 plus, but specifically, like, conduct is not monitored well enough. Some of those that have maybe topics where you need more of a moderator focus and there's none in there, like, that's the worst. Those are the ones you see footage of later and it's like, why did they allow this? Like, this submission, why did they allow it?
My favorite are the panels that they got too long and clever with the name and it gets cut off in the program guide. So it's like, Magical Girls and King Arthur, the and you're like, well, I don't know what that's about. You're like, you know, when will the bomb go off? Or how I learned... okay. <Oops. laughs> Those are the best. Thanks for being too clever, motherfucker.
Okay. When did the bomb go off? Or did my little sister fart in the...
Well, then I'd have to go to see. I'd have to find out. See, that's more
intriguing.
Then it
gets cut off right there.
Then it's a mystery to be solved.
I guess I've created the best anime panel.
Okay. All right. Okay. Nats Fan asks, is Digimon Adventure Tri going to succeed as 6 films? Are they overestimating the number of old Digimon fans? Are kids going to like it?
Well...
Isn't it not for kids? Like, it's for people to watch it as kids?
Totally not for kids.
It's child-appropriate, I'm sure. Like, it's aimed at nostalgia. It's the... Everything about the marketing, everything leading up to this has been like, this is for kids from 15 years ago. But it seems like it'll be child-appropriate, certainly. It's not an adult thing. It shouldn't be. That would be weird. But, like, the Digimon fan base in Japan is bigger than, like... It's kind of ardent in America, and it's actually bigger, like, it's more of a respected, like, nostalgic thing in Japan that's a little more mainstream. It's considered a children's franchise, it's a toy franchise, but it's nostalgic and people like it a lot in Japan. So, I mean, I assume Toei has gauged the, like, I assume that they've, like, factored in the numbers and they kind of know what they're doing on this one, because the turnout for it has been really great, like, the hype for it has been really great in Japan, so I assume they're like, okay, 6 movies, this will work. So, you know, I mean, only time will tell, but it doesn't seem like a wild miscalculation to me. Digimon is much more of a thing in Japan than it is here, and it's kind of a thing here, so it's not, only if you're on the internet or whatever, but it's still, you know, it's a thing. So,
well, build, like, a sequel to that, like, that specific series without at least, you know, thinking about it a little bit. Like, it's very, like, their choices in that are sort of very specific. Like, we're doing this because of the nostalgia and all that sort of stuff, it seems.
Yeah, like, so back when I did, like, Digimon videos where I researched this stuff, like, the fervor around that show, the reason that they pushed out a sequel to the original Adventure right when it was airing, like, Adventure went straight into the sequel because they just jumped onto production for the sequel before there was no break for a season, there was no break for any kind of time period. They just went into it because it was really, really taking off ratings-wise. And as a result, 02, which is kind of a crappy sequel, but it's, you know, it has some merit, and they jumped on it. As a result, like, that has the highest ratings of the Digimon franchise, and it was, you know, it was a big deal for them. So there's a lot of people that saw that show as children, like, a lot. So, yeah, I imagine they know what they're doing on that front.
I mean, I imagine they think, oh, people have kids now. They'll watch this with their kids. They'll buy merchandise for it, etc.
And there's been like a theatrical. I think for some of the later seasons, it was a TV movie, but there's been a theatrical movie for even the less popular seasons of Digimon, like, they've managed to put together a theatrical movie, usually with pretty good animation compared to the garbage animation for the TV show. Like, so there's some kind of pull. Like, it's got a consistent fan base in Japan, sort of like a Pokemon thing, except Pokemon is enormous and this is just, reliable, I guess.
I mean, when the trailer for... when they finally made that announcement of what that was going to be, it was huge news. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was gigantic. Like, I saw the traffic on that news piece. It was enormous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I know that the audience for that is big. Maybe not as big as they want it to be, but, you know, maybe. We'll see. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did they announce anything about, like, America with that yet or not?
No, is it just... no, of course not. Who knows?
Nope.
All right, Carrie asks, has episode blogging culture and online anime criticism, where each episode is given a singular focus week to week and sometimes judged by whether or not it's able to tell a complete tale, made it at all difficult to reflect on and evaluate an anime series in its totality? No, not at all. I mean, if the question is, does doing episode blogging make it harder to do a full series review? Of course not. Yeah. To me, actually, it makes it easier because you wind up... when you write about each individual episode, writing up one piece that sums it all up, you're going to be able to hit the big points you need to hit much easier and immediately recall those examples that you need to use to prop up whatever argument you're making. Like, in practice, it involves going a lot more in-depth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, since our writers do everything, we do both episodic and full series reviews, I feel like we kind of get the best of both. And now we just do everything instead of just one thing. So the daily streaming reviews are a big success. So those are going to keep going forever, I think. And we're definitely not going to stop doing that. But we post a full series review every day still. I mean, Hope, you've reviewed stuff episode by episode, and then also, you know, as a full series. Has that changed anything for you?
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, you just... If you're anal about it like I am, you kind of go, oh, I can't repeat myself, and maybe that's the only problem, is fear of repeating yourself, but, like I just did there, in fact, I think that's it. Otherwise, it makes it easier because you're contextualizing your thoughts in tiny pieces for, like, over the course of several months, so yeah.
I mean, like, when you write anything at length, like, say you write 13 of those things, when you know what parts of those things you wrote are successful and not successful. So, you know, I mean, like, it's just more data to base your final thoughts on. How can that not be better?
Yeah. Okay. Another question for Hope. How many pants would you shit if a Trigun Maximum anime directed by Rie Matsumoto and animated by Bones was announced?
Well, first I would shit my pants. And then I would go to my closet to get some clean pants, and all of the pants in there would be mysteriously shat. And then back home, my parents would give me a call and we'd be like, your childhood clothing we kept some of for memory purposes has,
you know, we don't
on it.
We don't need the grand
yes,
guignol tableau
then,
of pants
then,
fitting.
And then some pants that I gave to Goodwill 3 years ago would also be shed. That is the answer to that question.
Jesus. See, when you asked that question, my visualization was that pants were coming out of her butt, and that's what I thought.
Well, I'm
Gee,
cutting
thanks,
that.
Brady.
I'm cutting that out of this podcast.
Okay. Well, the way you phrased it sounded like that. I was like, "What is this question?"
Okay. Well, on that note, I think we're actually going to go ahead and wrap up here. all right. Well, thanks to everybody who showed up to chat with us for a little bit tonight. Really appreciate it, Brady. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for having me. Always, I always have fun.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Brady for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate it. We'll see you all next week.